Hello and welcome to episode number 7 of the Technology Icing podcast. And in this episode, we are covering the data-related issues that you encounter within a .NET application. So what are the data-related issues? Well, typically, most developers focus on programming, setting up the architecture like MVC, Web API, have the REST API going, and then they have a UI written in Angular, .NET, or maybe even Razor MVC, and they just convert the model to entity framework and do code first or database first, and they assume everything will go fine. But what happens when your application all of a sudden has to deal with too much data? And you know, if you are dealing with too much data, then that means there's something going on wrong, because what's the use of showing excessive amount of data on the UI? Like, just imagine you're giving your boss a big Excel containing a million records, and you ask him to figure out what are the sales in this region or what is the net profit that he made. No, most people want crisp information. They want to know the aggregates, the sum, the measures. And traditionally, when you go with a SQL approach, suppose if you take SQL, then if you write code within your C# language using direct ADO .NET stuff, then you end up doing something like select and sum of something grouped by 10 different aggregates, and you have some where conditions, some having conditions, so that you eliminate negative or queries which don't have any sales. And then, you know, that can cause problems like SQL injection, because you're writing direct SQL within your code. Or maybe, okay, fine, you say you wrap it up with a stored procedure, and then now your stored procedure logic becomes more hairier, and it's difficult to apply object oriented on top of it, and all of a sudden you find that you are running into data issues. Or maybe you decide, okay, let SQL be the way it is, maybe by using entity framework, let's do everything by C#. So you decide to do link, LINQ, and language integrated query, and there you decide that, okay, I'm going to make my classes and it will try to resemble the same structure that is there in the database. But not many people use virtual identifiers to tell that, okay, do not load the referencing table. And sometimes they don't use lazy programming paradigm practices. Lazy programming is they frequently call to list, and then your application does early garbage collection because the entire database is loaded into memory, and then your request thread goes out of memory, and if you start a background thread like IIS web hosting thread using Fluent Scheduler, then you run into issues like, okay, thread restarts just because you're dealing with too much data. And sometimes what happens is due to too much data, even your application to the user becomes unresponsive, and some irresponsible programmers transfer the entire data set to the UI, and the UI has to use C3 or D3 charts to aggregate the data and show it as a pie chart or bar chart. And then, you know, the UI all of a sudden has that JavaScript or Chrome not responding, and they have to wait or force kill. Data can cause a lot of issues, and I think many people don't think about it early on. Okay, some of them try using pagination, but then with pagination, your boss gets, okay, out of the 10 million records, gets 100 at a time, and he has to click on page 2, page 3, page 4. I think maybe as a poor man's aggregation engine, you can start with Elasticsearch, which uses MongoDB. You can have a job that regularly loads data from SQL to Elasticsearch, on a daily basis, or maybe use SSAS cubes, because SSAS cubes uses your data in memory. It's very easy to make an SSAS cube instance, because all you have to do is make use SQL SSAS analytics tool to you can use Visual Studio itself to point to the SQL database that you're interested to make aggregates in, and it pre-calculates aggregates and measures. For example, the total sales for every country is saved pre-calculated in maybe one job. Like when you are processing your cube, you put pre-calculated measures and aggregates in the memory. Maybe you take a 64 GB or 128 GB machine and put everything in the Vertipack memory. It's very easy to model it mostly by UI wizards. However, a better option to do is use Data Lake. And Data Lake, you can have it in-house or on Azure, and you can use uSQL to query your data and get the aggregates out. And now sometimes what you can use is you can use a MapReduce framework, something like Spark. And in Spark, you will have a master node and many machines as cluster nodes. And you can give it a partitioning index so that, okay, 2016 data will be handled by one machine, 2017 by another machine, 2018 by yet another machine, and 2019 data in yet another machine. And then when you use Spark SQL, you don't even have to know Scala to query it. When you use Spark SQL, you can write direct SQL statements, which is ANSI compliant within Spark SQL, and you can just fire the query and it will run these queries in different machines and give you the aggregated data live. You don't even have to pre-calculate it, because with SSAS cubes and Elasticsearch, you may have to give the users one day old data. That's okay for less mission critical applications. But if you want live data, or maybe if you use the aggregates or pipeline of MongoDB. Now, why do I choose a particular database, and why do I choose RDMS, RDBMS over something else? So there are different choices. Like one of them, it depends on the CAP theorem, where C stands for consistency, P for partitioning, A for availability. If you want more availability and consistency, you take RDBMS or Neo4j. I'll talk about Neo4j very soon. But if you are okay to sacrifice availability of your data, like for example, if you're using a distributed database like Mongo or Redis, and Redis is an in-memory cache, and or maybe HBase, the vertical columnar one, or CouchDB, you may have more better partitioning, but lesser in terms of the CNA access, that is consistency and availability. Consistency may be better in MongoDB, but maybe lesser on the availability part. Now, if your data looks like relationships, like, okay, person X is a friend of person Y, and person Z is related to person X by this way, and maybe some 123 ABC has started liking this page, or ID number 600 is making a sale to this particular customer, then you are making a set of relationships amongst them, which is very nested. There is no proper structure. You're making it like a graph. If your relationship is like a graph, like for example, the hierarchy of an organization is like a graph. Like you have consultants, technical leads, managers, and above that the CEOs. If it looks like a graph, then it's better to use Neo4j, where you use a graph database. And if you are going to just have everything as a set of key value pairs, then like for example, you just send a key and then you want a value out, it's better to use something like Redis cache, where everything is stored within the memory, and it's better to use the RAM rather than using like an SSAS cube. It uses the RAM, or maybe Spark or Data Lake, it uses a distributed system. So it's like 10 workers working together to get to the data that you want. And what happens is, if you are kind of lazy and you don't want to go away from SQL, you can listen to episode number 5, which is running some long running tasks, and that will explain you how to run. But in that also, if your background thread receives too much data, what else are you going to do? One more thing is when you are using something like RabbitMQ for sending messages from one system to the other system, suppose if you make a long-running worker thread, then if you just want information to be given that this has happened, then don't use something like RabbitMQ. You could use something like EventGrid, or maybe a push notification engine, something like Google Cloud Messaging System, which actually only sends the relevant reference ID and not the entire data set. And if you're using images, it's very difficult to index it because images are not something which is text, and text is not something which is searchable by link. But what you could do is you could run your images past a cognitive service like Microsoft Cognitive Services and get the relevant information around the image. Like, for example, if you see a scenery which has a house, a car, maybe mountains, and it will start telling you these tags within the image, and that can become searchable. So, and maybe if you have text within an image, you can use Microsoft Cognitive Services or Abby or Tesseract or Computer Vision to extract the OCR from the images and keep it as plain text within your database, so that, you know, people need not like browse through thousands of images. And your UI folks that you are trying to cater to, they are also working very hard to reduce the amount of data that is sent, because now they have to start catering to mobile phones. They have to start, make the web pages more and more responsive. And so they hate it when you send too much data. So send crisp, less aggregated data. And I know aggregated data comes at a big cost, but yes, you can use techniques such as distributed computing like Spark or SSS cubes or better data lake or CouchDB or Mongo for aggregations. And you can give aggregated with measures data, like for example only 5 lines, maybe all the countries with the specific sales numbers, or even images should be what the user wants. So you could add extra information to the images as text with the help of cognitive services, and thereby resolving your data related issues. Try to send less amount of messages within a messaging system, just the information, and the relevant machine that gets the message should make a query for the amount that they will be about to process. And try to use the pipeline if you're using MongoDB, and make sure that even your SSAS cubes should not have more amount of data than what the RAM can accumulate. Maybe aggregated data makes sense till the year 2018. People may not be bothered about 2 years before this data, or maybe up till 5 years you can keep it in SQL, in your SSAS cube or in your Elasticsearch instance, and try not to have too much data to be processed. Maybe you can have all the data archive within SQL, and maybe for aggregations you can keep a subset of data, like maybe 2 years or 3 years data, within these technologies that I've mentioned, like SSAS or Elasticsearch. And it's a good rule to, you know, only keep the if suppose a person has left the company, maybe just keep you can keep the critical information like the joining date, from date and to date, but maybe all his email archives, all his personal information, you can destroy it after a surge, after a certain type, and you will be complying with the GDPR policies of Europe and US and not violating the terms. Like, there is a batch job that you can start to start purging data that is not necessary, because I've started maybe 20 years ago, what were the sales? You should have just been interested in just the total sales figure. But maybe you need not have the geolocation of the truck wherever it went to get the thing to the customer. Or maybe, you know, if you've collected information around the customer from his messages or from his conversation logs, maybe you could destroy it. But yes, you must keep very critical information, because when background checks happen on 10 years past data for auditing purposes, you may need the critical pieces of info. So just keep enough info for the audit people to be happy. Maybe with respect to transactions in terms of payments that were done, but not necessary like the supporting information around it. So try to manage just enough data. Try not to have excessive data to manipulate. Use lazy programming as much as possible. Like for example, do not call to list early on, and try your best to just build up the link query and aggregates. Use as many aggregates as possible. If needed, it's okay to go away from SQL, and beware of data related security incidents. Like make sure SQL injection does not happen by parameterizing or by using entity framework itself, and you should pass your data over a secure layer, and you should not try to keep data which is sensitive, like credit card numbers. You should not try to keep it. Use a third party engine like Stripe, because they are more PCI compliant than you are. And make sure images could be handled by something that is more image ready, like for example blobs or S3 instances. Try not to dump your images as the bytes within the database. Try to use a blob or an Azure blob or S3 engine or some cloud storage, or maybe just a Docker volume if you're an enterprise for storing your images. Try not to have images within the database, and make sure that you send only relevant information, deal with relevant information, and try to purge as much as possible the things that you don't need. And make sure that you have the right database choice for the right kind of application. And hopefully this solves all your data. And try not to deal with too much data in the RAM within the web server that is servicing the user. Try to leverage a distributed architecture with the help of queuing, workers, service bus. There is one episode that I have talked about on how to do long running jobs, and that has some tips on how to manage your multi-system architecture. Look into Spark. If a job can be done by 10 different machines instead of a single machine, well, that's even better. Maybe if employees are sleeping, you can ask them to give away the computational time to do some scientific computations, and leverage some intelligent systems like Keras, TensorFlow, computer vision with GPU. Don't just think of CPU for some of the tasks that require excessive data crunching, because these frameworks are built for it. That's it from my side. This is Karan Bhandari, and I work in Societe Generale as technical lead. I have worked in mostly as an Android developer through Infosys in various organizations like ANZ, NAB, Westpac, and in India with DirecTV. And currently I'm helping Societe Generale's innovation team. That's it from me. Goodbye. And thank you for watching Technology Icing.